This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Many cities and even states are considering laws to provide sanctuary to immigrants from immigration enforcement, which means authorizing local police departments to not cooperate with ICE agents. But Texas is now a state that has declared itself the opposite of a sanctuary. State lawmakers in Texas passed a law that would levy hefty fines against cities or municipalities, universities, and other institutions for not cooperating with ICE. The law also allows police officers to question people's immigration status, even if they're simply picked up for minor offenses. Texas's SB4 is reminiscent of Arizona's controversial SB 1070 law that was denounced as racist and anti-immigrant. Texas Governor Greg Abbott live-streamed himself signing the bill into law. Meanwhile, the ACLU has issued a travel alert for Texas, warning that people's constitutional rights could be violated if they visit the state. My guest is Jim Rigby, a pastor of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Austin, Texas. He's one of several people who was arrested at a protest against SB4. Welcome to the program, Pastor Rigby.
Thank you. Thank you for covering the story.
So first, let's talk about what exactly this law would do. Greg Abbott has, said very tauntingly that he was getting his signing pen warmed up. He has spoken out against this concept of sanctuary cities and states. What does SB4 do in terms of addressing cooperation between law enforcement and immigration enforcement?
Well, it's still kind of vague in many ways. I think it's intended to be vague. It's sort of like some of the laws in South Africa were, where you can't really tell who is going to get in trouble for this. And this was very clear in the questioning as the bill was presented, that they had not really thought through, or at least they weren't willing to specify who is it that's going to get into trouble. That sends sort of a chilling message to everybody that if you do not discriminate against the same people the governor wants to discriminate against, you will be a target.
So I understand that it would levy huge fines if, for example, the University of Texas campus decided that it was going to be one where its campus police did not cooperate with ICE agents. The state of Texas could now fine the university tens of thousands of dollars?
Yes. Again, it's not clear. The bills, the law, I guess it's the law now, is kind of aimed at the police in this situation, because it's not really clear that you could file charges against a city council, for example, for voting, or regents at a university. So it's kind of targeted at law enforcement people, which is why law enforcement agencies from all across the state came and testified against it. It puts them in jeopardy too.
So basically, the law enforcement have spoken out against it. Is it clear that Texas-wide police don't like this bill? And if so, why? Because, often we expect police to by the same line that politicians do, that immigrants are somehow dangerous. What do they know?
The whole question, if I go adrift, just interrupt me. The reason the police are against this is that they are local law enforcement officers. They did not run as federal agents. And so in a city like Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, Fort Worth, El Paso, Houston, all of which testified against this legislation, they all feel that this will have a chilling effect on the communities. The communities will not step forward to report things. And they've already seen, I forget the statistics, but the reporting of rape has already drastically dropped in Houston. That's 43% reduction in those reports. If somebody is undocumented, they're going to be afraid to come forward and report a crime, because then they could be deported for that.
So what have people in Texas, how have they responded? Is there public support for this law from non-immigrant communities? Where do Texas lawmakers, how do they justify passing such a law?
Well, here in Texas, my personal opinion is that the political agenda, the true political agenda, which is to basically destroy the public sector and privatize, I think that would be very unpopular. So basically, almost all of the Republicans that are running have a scapegoating campaign against Muslims, against Planned Parenthood, against immigrants, and it's all making people afraid of either what are some of the most vulnerable populations on the face of the earth. Or in the case of immigrants, their crime rates are actually lower than the general citizenship. So this is a completely disingenuous legislation. That was very clear when you heard the testimony.
Is it fair to say that the Trump administration has emboldened such laws?
I don't think there's any question. I mean, he ran on an immigrant bashing program. I mean, you can say that you're only going after people who are undocumented, but it's very clear that this legislation is crafted to strike fear in all the immigrant population, because if people are driving along and they get pulled over to the side of the road and one of the person has a broken taillight, the driver of the car, the police officer can ask everybody in the car whether they have their documentation. I mean, it's no wonder the immigrant community is so terrified of this legislation.
So tell us about the protests that have taken place. I understand there was an 8-hour protest. You were among the people who have been protested. You've also been arrested for your protest. What does opposition on the ground look like?
I mean, there have been a number of protests. Last Monday, we did one at the governor's office. There have been, marches, protests, all kinds of ways of trying to get across how agonizing this is. I mean, one of the things that was real depressing this last month is watching, undocumented children, or children with undocumented parents, and just the fear and the fatigue and the sense of being a target that you see it all over the place right now.
How does your faith inform your activism on this? Why is it anti-Christian to be in support of SB4?
Well, I think if you go back to the actual tradition and not to what the religious right says the tradition is, if you go back to the actual story of the Exodus, the Israelites were immigrants and they were exploited by the Egyptians. And so the part of the covenant that was made between the Israelites and God in the story is that they wouldn't exploit other people. So there's a theme that runs all through scripture, particularly immigrants, that you protect them, that you offer them hospitality. And that is a theme that runs all through scripture. In our case, for me as a person of faith, I also know what our nation did to some of these other countries. Our church is a sanctuary church. We have a mother and her son from Guatemala who is hiding in our church to avoid deportation. I know, as someone who's read history, that our nation destabilized their nation. So when people flee from that violence, I don't see how any decent, ethical, set aside religion, a decent, ethical person would slam the door on them or build a wall. If you turned their country into a hellhole, you have a lasting, long-term obligation to make that better.
So would your own church be found in violation of this law, the sanctuary law? Or again, it's not quite clear yet because lawmakers didn't think through the details before they signed it.
Well, at this point, there's an exemption for churches, but that's the way you do these Trojan horse laws, where you go after the people that are most vulnerable and the most easily frightened. In this case, you have an ambiguous law that police and sheriffs are going to have to enforce. And the incentive now is to turn in everybody, to mistreat the immigrants so that you are personally safe. I mean, it has to be terrifying to know that if the attorney general, who's basically, you know, this is like the old West days, where although there's a court with three judges on it, the attorney general gets to decide who that is. So he gets to decide who obeys the law. This is vague enough where he gets to say what the law is, and then he gets to prosecute the people that he decides are getting in the way of his plan. So this is a threat across the board to everyone who wants to be different than the attorney general and the governor.
Now, the ACLU has issued a travel alert to Texas, basically saying that people should be warned that their constitutional rights might be violated if they visited the state. I expect the ACLU will sue to try to stop implementation of this law. What do you know of legal challenges to it?
Well, there's all kinds of, you know, the municipalities are preparing, every kind of, but violating people's civil rights is nothing new in Texas. I mean, if you're a pregnant woman, you have a constitutional right to a full range of reproductive options, but not in Texas. They will hunt you down. They will shut down the clinics. If you're Muslim, you have a right to free expression. If you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, you should have a right to live your own life. But in Texas, people with religious scruples get to override other people's constitutional rights. So I don't know how much of the ACLU's travel warning is tongue in cheek, but it's very real for those of us who live here. Right. Our civil rights always in the balance.
Now, I understand that there are some local officials and law and elected officials that are speaking out. Austin's city council member, Greg Kassar, who's a son of immigrants, has vowed to speak out about it. He's been involved in the protests. Are there such dissenters among elected officials as well? I know Austin's considered a sort of liberal bastion in Texas, but he can't be the only sort of city council member, right, speaking out?
No. I mean, our city council, I would say, in general, is in favor of allowing local law enforcement officers to be local law enforcement officers and not to have to enforce federal laws, which they, you know, that's not what they signed on for. When we elected Sally Hernandez as our sheriff, we did so under her promise to not go headhunting for our undocumented neighbors. What the governor has done and the attorney general has done is override our democracy. They've said we do not get to choose the policies that are here in Austin, that they will override those and force us to be as discriminatory as they.
Now, the law is opposed by police officers, not just because it puts immigrants in danger, but how does it also undermine public safety as a whole? I mean, I imagine if there's a crime committed against even citizens, and the only witness to a crime committed against citizens happened to be an undocumented person, Texas state has just created an incentive for that undocumented person to not speak out, right?
Yeah, there's no question. And that's what one law officer after another said, is that when the community doesn't trust law enforcement, they don't report things. So burglaries, rapes, even murders, if you have to risk your own life to be deported back to some place that's not safe for you, then of course you're just going to pull the blinds when you see something that is amiss. And as I said a few minutes ago, in Houston, the rape cases have dropped 43% already just on the threat that is here. Because remember, if you are from the immigrant community, you may be documented, but your uncle may not be. And so when you stand up for your rights, you are making vulnerable all the people who are around you. One of the most horrifying things about this legislation is you don't have to be arrested for people to start asking questions. If you are detained by the police at a routine stop and you weren't driving the car, you just happened to be there, you are now susceptible to that kind of show me your papers, sort of East Germany kind of law enforcement.
And so I understand several cities have already, and institutions have already slapped the state with lawsuits. This battle may end up being fought in the courts, but are there any future street protests and citizen actions planned? Are people continuing to confront their state lawmakers, you know, when they maybe have town hall meetings, et cetera, about this law?
Well, we have to. Obviously, the leadership of Texas does not care about the Constitution. They do not care about constitutional rights. So essentially in Texas, you have a situation where the criminals are writing law and our neighbors are not getting their human rights respected. So, you know, it's not just, you know, this is going to spread across the state. I don't think most Texans voted for sort of this fascist bullying where a state official decides he wants to enforce federal law, which nobody voted for him to be able to do that. I mean, he's a state a governor, and yet he wants to play police over and against the fact that all the law enforcement agencies say this is a bad idea. So you've got a governor who's playing, detective, playing law enforcement, risking, you know, the immigrant community, documented, undocumented, and the law enforcement officers themselves.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Pastor Rigby, for joining us today and helping shed some light on this pressing issue. Thanks so much.
Thank you for covering the story.
My guest is Jim Rigby, a pastor of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Austin, Texas. He's one of several people arrested at a protest against Senate Bill 4, which has now been signed into law. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.